Today we are continuing our Lenten preaching series entitled Encounters with Jesus, and we're going to look at a story that comes actually very early in Jesus' ministry, but it's a significant story because it involves Jesus' encounter with a Roman centurion. And this encounter involves the centurion coming not just for his own benefit, but for the benefit of a servant of his who is sick to the point of death. I've titled the message, The Unexpected Believer, and I think you'll understand why as we unpack this a little bit here this morning. And it's a great story on many levels, so let's jump into this life-changing encounter that Jesus has with a Roman centurion and on behalf of his ailing servant. The text is Luke chapter 7, the Gospel of Luke chapter 7, verses 1 through 10, again for a message entitled, An Unexpected Believer. Hear now the word of God. When Jesus had finished saying all this to the people who were listening, he entered Capernaum. There a centurion's servant, whom his master valued highly, was sick and about to die. The centurion heard of Jesus and sent some elders of the Jews to him, asking him to come and heal his servant. When they came to Jesus, they pleaded earnestly with him, "This man deserves to have you do this, because he loves our nation and has built our synagogue." So Jesus went with them. He was not far from the house when the centurion sent friends to say to him, "Lord, don't trouble yourself, for I do not deserve to have you come under my roof. That is why I did not even consider myself worthy to come to you. But say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I am myself am a man under authority with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes, and that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it." When Jesus heard this, he was amazed at him, and turning to the crowd following him, he said, "I tell you, I have not found such great faith even in Israel." Then the men who had been sent returned to the house and found the servant well. Here ends the reading of God's holy word. In my Bible, at the beginning of Luke chapter 7, I have a heading that says, The Faith of the Centurion. The Faith of the Centurion. And you will see that his faith shines brilliantly in this encounter. His faith really shows itself true and strong and pure in this encounter. We learn from the first verse that Jesus is in Capernaum. And Capernaum was a village northwest corner of the Sea of Galilee. Jesus, of course, was raised in Nazareth, but Capernaum is where he established his ministry. It was sort of his headquarters. And Capernaum was a very active town. It was a busy town, lots of traffic coming through Capernaum. It was an ancient trade route. And so Jesus sets up his ministry headquarters, so to speak, in Capernaum, and that's basically where he's living when he begins his ministry. And his ministry doesn't begin till he's probably 30 years old, because there was a rule or a law that a rabbi couldn't establish himself as a rabbi until he was 30 and started, then he could then begin to call followers. So Jesus probably is close to 30 or after when he begins his ministry, and he basically begins in the Galilean region, but in the town of Capernaum rather than Nazareth, okay? And it's in this village that Jesus' ministry begins to grow, and here is where Jesus has this life-changing encounter with a Roman centurion. The first point we want to make about this encounter between Jesus and the centurion is this. The centurion had faith long before encountering Jesus. This centurion had a faith in God long before he encountered Jesus. In verse 3, we learn that this man had heard about Jesus and sent some of his Jewish elders to see if Jesus would come to his house to heal his ailing servant. This was a bold move. A Roman centurion was the equivalent of the enemy of the first century Jew. Roman centurion was someone who helped keep the peace, who helped make sure the Israelite people were staying in line and paying their taxes and being loyal to the Caesar. But this centurion was different. This centurion was different for a number of reasons. First of all, he wasn't hardened like most of the Roman centurions were. He had a gentleness to him. He had a humbleness to him, as we will see. And we know from this text that he was actually a friend to the nation of Israel, because he asked the Jewish elders to go to Jesus on his behalf. And we also learned that he was a friend to the Jewish nation, and in fact, he helped to build the synagogue for them. So the Jewish elders realized that this was someone who really believed in God and was a friend to the nation of Israel. And so when he made this request that they would go and present his case before Jesus, they agreed to do so. He was a friend to them. So he had faith long before he encountered Jesus. He had faith for years because he had been instrumental in supporting the nation of Israel and in fact actually helped to build their synagogue. But there's a second point that's equally important, and that is he had an exalted view of Jesus. And an exalted view of Jesus. He believed that Jesus had the authority over what anyone else would call a hopeless situation. And his message in Luke chapter 7, verse 7 is quite telling. He says, "Just say the word, and my servant will be healed." He recognized the authority that Jesus had over his desperate situation in regards to his ailing servant. And this centurion understood authority. He knew what it was to give an order and have that order carried out. He knew what it meant to speak and have his words obeyed. But he also knew that his servant was in desperate need of healing. And there was nothing that he could do to bring that healing. There are three things you never want to hear your physician to say. The first one is, "Oops." The second one is, "I've never seen this before." And the third one is, "Oh, this is bad." Well, Luke is actually a physician. And in the text here, Luke is saying the third one. What the servant had was bad. He was ill to the point of death. And his boss, the centurion, needed to go to the one who had authority over everything. And he recognized Jesus to be that one. He knew that Jesus, if he could do anything, would do what he was asking. And he knew that he didn't need to necessarily have Jesus come into his house and lay hands on his servant. He didn't necessarily have to have Jesus right before him. If Jesus just said the word, he believed that his servant would be healed. There's a third point we need to make about this unexpected believer, and that is this. He had a humble view of himself. A very humble view of himself. In verse 6, the centurion sends messengers to keep Jesus from entering his home. He felt he was unworthy to have Jesus come into his home. So he sends messengers, you know, go out and intercept Jesus before he gets here. Verse 7, he adds, "I do not consider myself worthy to come to you." And so the delegation of elders that came to Jesus on behalf of the centurion told Jesus that this centurion was worthy. But in this, the centurion thought to himself, "I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy to go to Jesus." But the Jewish elders believed he was worthy. And they went on his behalf. This Roman centurion loved the Jewish people. He demonstrated his love by building them a synagogue. And though they thought he was worthy, even when he didn't think he was worthy. Can't you just hear the elders probably approaching Jesus and saying, "Now Jesus, we know that he's a Roman centurion. We know that he's a Gentile. But you have to overlook this time because he loves the nation of Israel. He loves the people of God. He's been helpful to us." We're pretty sure if any Gentile would be worthy, this guy would be the one. You know, I often, in my prayers to God, often think like this, you know. I think, well, you know, God, I'm pretty good. I'm You know, I'm in church every Sunday. I'm reading the Bible every day. I'm praying every day. And so, you know, maybe you could do this one little thing for me since I'm doing all these other right things. You see, friends, there is humility and there is false humility. False humility says, okay, Lord, look what I've done for you. Now you do this for me. False humility is trying to get something from someone else by appearing to be humble. This man had genuine humility. There's no false humility in him at all. He considered himself unworthy to be in the presence of Jesus. True humility comes from our own understanding of our insufficiency and Christ's all-sufficiency. The servant's about to die. The servant's about to die, and he is helpless. This centurion is helpless to do anything to make him better. And he's slowly watching him deteriorate before him. And this is a servant that he very much values. He very much appreciates. One who was like a son to him. And that leads to our next point today. Not only did he have a humble view of himself, but he had a compassionate view of others. Compassionate view of others. It says in the scriptures that this servant was highly regarded by this centurion. Highly regarded. When the scripture says highly regarded, that Greek word that's used there means precious. In 1 Peter, the same word is used when it talks about Jesus being the cornerstone, the precious cornerstone. This servant was precious to this centurion, but like a son to him. And now he is sick to the point of death. Typical Roman soldier was brutally heartless, and they treated slaves like property. If your slave was sick or ill, you simply got rid of them and got another one. But not this centurion, because he had a compassionate view of others. Aristotle said that there be no friendship and no justice toward inanimate things, not even towards a horse, an ox, or a slave. He said that a slave is a living tool, just as a tool is an inanimate slave. And the Roman lawyer Gaius wrote that it was universally accepted that the master possessed the power of life and death over his slave. And another Roman writer named Varro maintained that the only difference between a slave, a beast, and a cart was that the slave could talk. The centurion didn't treat his slave like a piece of property. He treated him as a beloved human being, as a dear son, as someone who was precious, precious, highly regarded. And that is unusual for a man of his position of a Roman centurion. To treat someone with compassion is very much out of character. But remember, he loved the nation of Israel and he helped them build their synagogue. Compassion is one of the last traits you would expect to see in a Roman centurion. As a Roman commander, he was sent to occupy their land. His job was to keep the peace. His job was to tell people what to do. His job was to make sure that the Israelite people obeyed the laws and honored the Caesar and paid their taxes. Compassion is not high on the list of qualities you need to be a Roman centurion, but he had it. He had a genuine love for God and a genuine love for his son Jesus. He had heard the news about Jesus and he believed. The kind of love that this centurion had will always catch the Lord's attention. And it certainly did. And that leads to our last point today, and that is this: that Jesus was amazed at his great faith. Jesus was amazed at his great faith. In fact, another translation says Jesus marveled at his faith. Marveled at his faith. Has your faith ever marveled Jesus? I ask this because God is looking for servants like this centurion, servants who have an exalted view of Christ, that he is sovereign and Lord of all, and so trust him for the impossible and a humble view of themselves, who believes in their insufficiency and trusts in Christ and his all-sufficiency. That's the kind of servants our Lord is looking for. This centurion in our story is a model for us of Christian service. He was a man who had authority. He had 100 people under him, and he could tell them, you go do this, you go do that, and they would do as he said. He understood authority. But he also understood that this beloved servant, this precious servant, needed Jesus. Because only Jesus could heal him. If you think about it, you might think that it's a marvel that Jesus would marvel at anything. I mean, he is the creator of all things. Everything that has existed comes through Jesus. He's spoken, the worlds came into existence. Why would Jesus marvel at anything? And yet in this text it says Jesus marveled at the faith of the centurion. He marveled at the faith of the centurion. You know, it's interesting that when you look in Scripture, there are two times it says that Jesus marveled at the faith of someone. One is here in Luke chapter 7, and he marveled at the great faith of the Roman centurion. Another is when he marveled at the great faith of the Canaanite woman who came pleading with him in a very insistent way to heal her daughter. Two stories where Jesus marvels at someone of great faith, and each of them were Gentiles. They weren't Jewish people. They were Gentiles. Those are the ones that Jesus marveled at their faith. You would expect to find great faith all over Israel, all over Judah and Jerusalem. You would expect to find great faith among the religious leaders of the day, or certainly among the disciples. You think Jesus would be praising them for great faith, but he also often criticized them, criticized the religious leaders for their lack of faith, and criticized his own disciples. O ye of little faith, why do you doubt? But two people in Scripture, Jesus marvels at their faith. One is the Roman centurion, and another is a Gentile Canaanite woman. The story ends in verse 12 when the delegation returns to the house and finds that the servant was well. You know what's interesting in this story is the centurion never really encountered Jesus. He first sent a Jewish delegation to Jesus, and when Jesus is making his way to his house, he sends friends out to intercept them. Doesn't really stand before Jesus, doesn't really talk to Jesus. He uses the first century equivalent of emails to get word to Jesus. But still, Jesus marveled at his faith. Even though he never looked him in the eye, even though he never talked directly to him, he marveled at his faith. Greater faith than anyone he has encountered in all of Israel. You know, friends, this encounter reminds me of a couple of truths that I think we need to keep in mind today, some takeaways for you. First of all, Jesus' ability to change lives transcends time and space. Jesus' ability to change lives transcends time and space. Jesus was never physically in the presence of the Roman centurion. And yet still, he marveled at his faith, and he honored his desire to see his servant healed. Number two, Jesus marvels at our faith when it truly trusts him. He marvels at our faith when we truly trust him. And that's why the centurion's faith is so celebrated in this story. He believed that Jesus could heal his servant simply by saying the word. Didn't need to come and lay hands on him. Didn't need to have him in the same room with the servant. All Jesus needed to do was say the word and his servant would be healed. Friends, that is incredible, incredible faith. And lastly, an encounter with Jesus can change anyone. The good news this morning is no human is beyond the love and the grace and the salvation that our Lord Jesus Christ gives. That's why we preach the gospel. That's why we are so adamant about sharing the good news of Jesus Christ through the ministries of his church here at Mechanic Grove and with those in our community. Because we believe that God can change anyone. If he can do that with a Roman, hardened Roman centurion, he can do that with any of us. If we truly believe. Romans 10:13 says, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. A Roman centurion, an unexpected believer, someone who really physically doesn't encounter Jesus. But Jesus says to them, I haven't seen greater faith in all of Israel than I've seen in this man who I haven't even met. And he marveled at his faith. Hudson Taylor was a pioneer missionary to China. He used to say, all God's giants have been weak men who did great things for God because they reckoned on God being with them. And I think that's so true. That this Roman centurion, I think he believed that God was with him. And that's why Jesus didn't necessarily have to come. That God was with him, and Jesus could simply say the word, and his servant would be healed. May that same powerful God do great things through us as we trust in him. And may Jesus be amazed at our faith as we truly trust in him. To the praise of his glory, amen, so be it, amen. Let's pray. Father, we are amazed at this story of an unexpected believer, a Roman centurion who was humble and compassionate, who had a high view of Jesus, who was a friend of the people of Israel, who believed in God, and had great faith, a faith that Jesus marveled at. Father, may we have such a faith, such a faith that would trust you in all things and with all things. And may you marvel at our faith as well as we walk with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.